elders of the exile, the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them, and plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become fathers of sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters. And give your daughters to husbands that they may bear sons and daughters, and multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So God spoke through Jeremiah
and basically said to them, I want you to learn how to cultivate thankfulness. You're in a foreign city. This is not your home, but it will be your home because I am your home. Be there and make it yours. Cultivate thankfulness and care for the people among whom you live. In the gospel reading today, we turn to Luke chapter 17. And there were some homeboys that were healed, and one that was not a homeboy. Look at the contrast. While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, we believe that your word is good news to us, and not just to us alone, but through us to others. And so now may this word, this good news, find deep root within us, that it might become more and more a part of us as we seek to be good news, your good news, to those who are around us. We pray in the name of Jesus our Lord, who is good news. Amen. Well, we are just on the cusp of one of the most beautiful seasons of the year, in my opinion. I mean, I love autumn. And the leaves are already beginning to fall. In fact, to the north of us, our neighbors in Canada are celebrating Thanksgiving this weekend. They're not rushing the season. The season gets rushed for them by the changing weather. For those of us that are here in the United States of America, It's Columbus Day weekend, and you can tell that there are people scattered around, people that went other places this weekend. It's one of those long holiday weekends when people like to get on the road and visit. Here at home, we didn't go anyplace, did we? Here we are, or at least most of us didn't go anyplace. Some of you did, obviously. But here at home, we have at the parsonage with us two granddaughters and a granddog. We have Taylor and Emily and our granddog Bailey. Bailey loves to come to our house. In fact, our son-in-law Gene says that our house is Bailey's party house. There he's allowed in the house. At his home, there he's not allowed in the house. He has to stay out in the pen, or at the very best, the garage. And the girls have been loving being able to just cuddle with him in the kitchen. Yes, he does have his limits in our house, too. He comes to the kitchen. Only when there are fireworks or thunderstorms does he venture out of the kitchen in fear. Bailey and I have a very unique relationship. When he was a little puppy, he spent a lot of time at our home at 1714 Woodland Boulevard. And we played ball together, and we took long walks together and runs together. And I don't know exactly how it all happened, but there's this special relationship that I have with Bailey. And when Bailey sees me, he doesn't care who else is around. He runs to me with his tail going a million miles a minute, and he buries his head, because I get down, you know, on my haunches, and he buries his head between this arm and my side. It's a sign of submission. It's a sign of love and care. Like, this is a safe place. I think that's why he feels safety and why he feels free to submit to me. In the gospel reading that leads up to this story of the 10 lepers who are cleansed, we read the story of the apostles who plead with Jesus, increase our faith, increase our faith. And Jesus, being the master teacher, takes advantage of these teachable moments. I mean, when somebody says, increase my faith, and you're Jesus, you say, well, this is a golden moment. This is what I've been waiting for you to ask. And he tells them the story of the faithful servant. The faithful servant is the one that we looked at last week, the one who works, doing what is expected, and looking for no thank yous. In other words, I'll do what I do out of commitment. I do it because it's right. I do it because I'm a servant. We follow the master, and we serve regardless of the accolades or the thank yous that we receive or we do not receive. We do it because we know it's right and good. And Jesus says that's how we need to serve. So you want to increase faith? Serve. Serve whether you get thanked for it or not. Do it because it's right. And something will continue to grow in you. And then we move to this story. The story of what has been oftentimes called the faithful leper, or I like to say, the redeemed leper. Because redemption is about being in a really tight spot. And somebody seeing us in need and comes to us and cares for us and graciously, mercifully takes us out of that mess. Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem, and he comes upon 10 lepers as he enters a village. And they're all standing at a distance, dutifully. I mean, after all, that's where lepers are supposed to stand. They are unclean. In fact, if they would come anywhere near the town, they have to announce themselves. Unclean, unclean. And that means everybody gives a wide berth to these guys or gals because You can catch stuff from these guys. You know, it's like when somebody has a cold and you see them sniffling, you don't want to touch their hands, do you? You say, like, oh, no, unclean. You're supposed to announce, unclean. In fact, you're sniffling, and the fact that you've got Kleenexes in your hand and you're sneezing is the announcement. But here, these people are contagious, contagious of body. Leprosy affects the nervous system. And it causes your nerves to deaden. You have no feeling. And because of that, the skin is badly damaged very easily and starts to fall off. I mean, it's not a pretty disease. Unclean. But not only are they unclean of body, in their culture, they are considered to be unclean of soul. As if somehow this was God's judgment upon them for doing something that was bad. And that's oftentimes been put on us. The reason something happens to us, the reason we get this disease, the reason we lose a house, we lose a job, is because you did something wrong. And that was a prevalent thought in that culture, and it seeped into ours as well. And so these leprous men are not only considered contagious and unclean in that sense, they're considered to be sinful people. But think about it. At one time, these 10 leprous men were babies. Little babies full of hope. I mean, look at the babies around. Don't you love to get your hands on a baby and feel their beautiful, soft skin, and their bright smiles, the twinkle in their eyes? They're sacred, like the tender leaves of spring. You know, in the springtime, when the leaves are in bud, we say, ah, it's coming. And we fall in love with springtime. We see it as being so hopeful. And we feel that about little children. But now, these 10 men who were at one time little babies with tender skin and full of hope have now had blemished skin. Their skin is imperfect. They're considered, in a sense, to be cursed by God. Kept at a distance. Unclean. You have to live in a place by yourself. Decaying leaves that we once welcomed fall to the ground. And now what are you going to do with them? They're a nuisance. You got to rake them or blow them or do something with them. Is there no honor? Is there no hope for the leprous leaf? Enter the grace of God. With God, no matter what the situation, there is always hope. And there is always honor. And you see that in the way that Jesus treats these 10 men. For he doesn't say, you know, get out of here, hit the road, you're not worth my time. They call out to him, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And he says to them something that makes a lot of sense, especially for the 9 Jewish people. Go and show yourselves to the priest. Why would you do that? Like, well, why don't you just heal us? They knew that the priests had the power to declare whether they were clean or not, as to whether they had been healed. That was part of the culture. And so they turn around and they start for the temple. And what we read in verse 14, it says, and as they were going, they were cleansed. It was in the going that they were willing to be obedient to the mercy that had been shown them. They were on their way. Going itself was an act of faith. And in the going, we read, they were cleansed. Can you imagine how they felt as they neared the temple and they looked and they saw that the leprosy was going away? I mean, this is a new day. Talk about redemption. And the story never tells us what happened to nine of them. All we read is that they were cleansed. Cleansed. But there's another one, the unlikely one. We read in verse 15, now, one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. Can you imagine the joy in this man? And he fell on his feet, fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. He was the one who was considered unclean by his very nature. We don't deal with Samaritans. I mean, I imagine these lepers said, you know, hey, he's a leper like us. Let him come live with us in this community. But I'll bet you as soon as they got clean, things began to change. Because what we pick up from them is they really don't have grateful hearts. Because they do nothing about coming back to the place where they'd gotten their healing. But this one is different. And Jesus says, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner, this outcast? And Jesus is not trying to be mean by that. He's just saying, that's how everybody else around here sees this man. I don't see him that way. I love this guy. And so he says to him in verse 19, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Now that's an important phrase there. He is the one who is called well. And if you were to unpack that word well out of Greek, the word is sozo, which means to be rescued. I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. We sang it earlier today. I need you to save me. I need you to be the one who restores me. The King James Version, we're talking about that in our Sunday school class. Sometimes we revert to our cradle book, and many of us cut our teeth on the King James Version. It uses the term whole. Stand up and go. Your faith has made you whole. Everything's together now. You're not broken anymore. And that's how he describes this man. He's the one who is truly well. The faithful one who is thankful. You see, thank you completes the circle for us. Jesus cleansed 10. Whether they gave thanks or didn't give thanks, he is the faithful servant. He'll do it. But what closes the circle for us is when we come back and say, thank you. This fits it right in with a Canadian Thanksgiving message, doesn't it? But we don't wait necessarily for a season to give thanks. Thankfulness needs to be a way of life for us. And that's the seed that Jesus is planting. Wellness or wholeness comes from a thankful heart. It's not simply being in the situation where you say, I can go and get something from this guy, and then I can hightail it out of town. Not using Jesus, but living in relationship with Jesus. Loving Jesus. Relating to Jesus. And that's what really makes us whole. Because it's not a one-time thing where you go to the store and get something. You now live, and the one who is your peace, your salvation, your rescuer, lives in you. What a difference it makes in us. God brings cleansing to everyone who calls out to him for mercy. That's God's heart. He wants to do that. But he doesn't want us simply to come because of what we're going to get. He wants us to come because we enter into a whole different dimension of life, a thankful life, a worshipful life, a relational life, where we live constantly in relationship with the one who redeems us. That's why this Samaritan comes back. And Jesus says, this person has gotten whole. The world in which we live has been trashed by brokenness. And we see it all around us. We see it within us. I see it within me. One of the examples of how broken or trashed we can be comes through a study that came through Penn State University. A sociologist observed other people as they were exiting a mall parking lot. And when nobody was waiting, you know how you jockey for parking places? And nobody's waiting for the space. It says, it took an average of 26 seconds for the person to back out of the space. But as soon as they saw somebody waiting, the time increased to 31 seconds. Isn't that interesting? Now, make matters worse, if somebody blows a horn, the time goes up to 43 seconds average. That's how broken we are. We say, I'm in control here. And you want this space? You're going to wait for me. I was on my way home from visiting someone down in Cape May County. I came to the Petersburg, where the Petersburg Road hits the the Marmora Road that goes up into Marmora. And I was stopped at a light, and the person in front of me could have made a right turn on red. And I thought, well, why don't you just make the right turn? You know, we can get going here. And so I laid on the horn, and that person, I just went beep, and that person jerked forward like 3 feet and stopped right in the way so she knew that I could not get around her. And the light turned green, and she stayed there. And do you know what happened to me? I boiled. I have a stick shift. You know what stick shifts do? You can burn rubber with stick shifts. And I didn't even know that I was going to do it. I burned rubber because I was so angry at her. And I looked at myself and I said, Lord, this is where it goes, doesn't it? That's how broken I am. None of you have ever done this, have you? That's how broken I am. That's how broken we are. Mercy makes a difference. I boiled for the next several miles. And God was speaking to me. I said, I know, I know, I know. And then she disappeared. And I wondered, Lord, did you put her in my path just to test me, to see what I was going to do? Was she an angel in disguise? She was well disguised. Mercy. Mercy makes a difference. And cultivating a thankful heart changes everything. Who has shown you mercy? I needed to show that woman mercy, not my wrath. And God was saying that to me. I'll have another chance. Maybe not with her, but with somebody else. A husband and a wife were finally getting around to writing a will. And they went to the lawyer to begin the process. And they were clear that the estate was going to go if one of them, whoever died, you know, the estate would go to the surviving spouse and then to sons and daughters. And then the lawyer asked them a very interesting question. He says, what would you do in the case of an exploding turkey? And they said, what? An exploding turkey? He said, well, it's a term we used. If you're all gathered for Thanksgiving and the turkey explodes and everybody in the house is killed, then what are you going to do? Exploding turkey. Where'd they come up with that one? But the assessment, they said, proved valuable as they thought about their relationships. Who outside of their family were they really thankful for? Who had been helpful for them in the cleansing process? Who had enriched their lives? For whom were they grateful? To whom would they like to gift their estate? In fact, they said it helped them to begin a new ritual, that at the end of each day, and especially at the end of a difficult day, they would ask themselves, what are we grateful for today? What's been good? How have we seen the mercy and grace of God mediated through people and situations? It's cultivating thankfulness. It's learning to get on our faces before the one who has redeemed us. And it has a restorative effect on our wholeness, our wellness. The healed man came back and bowed before his Redeemer, much like Bailey when he comes to his party house, runs to me and puts his head right here. And I tell you, it feels good to him, and it feels good to me. How do you think God feels when you come home to him and you bury your head in that safe place, and you know it's good, and he knows it's good, and he says, this is where we belong? When you come home, Lynn, when you come home, it's a good place to be. And home can be anywhere for us, as long as we've gotten to the source of life. Many of us will be grateful for our parents, for our spouses, for our children, for our friends, for our homes, for our food. We have all the, you know, there's the whole grocery list. But a daily cultivation of a grateful heart towards God and towards those who have gifted us with God's mercy is a restorative thing. It restores not only us, but a thankful me makes a much better world around me. It makes me whole. And it helps me to be a person who creates a wholesome situation. And so, let us be a people who bow before our Redeemer, who find that safe hiding place, knowing that here is good, because we have been graced in so many ways. It might not be the U.S. Thanksgiving. Today is Canadian Thanksgiving. But who needs to wait for a holiday? Let it be part of us. Let's pray. Here, Lord, we bow before you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his willingness to serve when there was no thanks, that he opened for us a doorway that we could not open for ourselves. And so here we are now, nuzzling up and knowing that here is the good place, the thankful place, the place of healing, in your arms. Thank you for creating it and for redeeming us in Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.